You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Joining me now is Rhett Bollinger to talk about a Twins team that's had a rough go in the second half, but did what they had to do, I thought, at the deadline, Rhett, as far as, you know, making a move that helps them here in the near term, maybe even helps them next year as well, addresses an area that probably needed addressing in the bullpen. But it wasn't like a crazy move. It wasn't an all-in move by any means. We'll talk about the trade for Kevin Jepsen, of course. Obviously, a lot of relievers change hands every deadline. What do you think made Jepsen the right man for the job for Minnesota?
Well, I think Jepsen, the big thing, is a guy who throws hard and gets some strikeouts. Staff definitely a bullpen that needed strikeouts. A guy with a lot of experience, you know, he pitched for the Angels for a long time before getting traded to the Rays in the offseason. He's got postseason experience. Really, they just kind of needed an arm. They're talking to other guys, you know, obviously Joaquin Benoit and San Diego, the, you know, guy they're looking after, a guy like Troy Hawkins in Colorado, which is another guy they're talking about. So I think it was just kind of different offers out on the table, different guys are looking at to help that bullpen. That was their number one priority, and I think that Jepsen just happened to work out best to make that trade with the Rays, and his debut didn't go as well as expected, but obviously it's just one outing, and as you said, the nice thing, too, is that the fact that he's under contract for next year, I think, too, was a big reason for wanting to trade for him, knowing that it wasn't just going to be for the rest of this year, but also be for next year as well.
Yeah, that is a huge key for them. Obviously, we've talked about it before, maybe this is all a little bit ahead of schedule here in 2015. Maybe the Twins have proven that, going 5-15 out of the break going into this week. The pitchers have had an ERA north of 5 in the 13 games leading up to this week. What are your thoughts on the way things have kind of sputtered here a little bit the last couple of weeks, Rhett?
Yeah, that's right. They've definitely struggled since the All-Star break. As you noted, the starting pitching has definitely kind of come back down to earth a little bit. And the big thing, too, is at least recently the offense has really struggled, too. They had a tough time scoring runs over the weekend. The Mariners really, you know, Taijuan Walker threw a one-hit, you know, complete game, and, you know, it really struggled to score some runs over the weekend. So I think it's kind of been a combination of kind of a lot of things going on, whether it's the offense struggling and the pitching struggling combined isn't a good combination right now. And we'll kind of see if they can get it going. As we talked about earlier, obviously Jepsen should help the bullpen, but right now it kind of seems like their bigger issue, at least recently, has kind of been the pitching in general and the offense. So obviously they didn't make any moves to address that. These guys kind of got to get it going. Obviously, a big series here in Toronto. It's going to be a big month for them. And, you know, a big series also coming up later in the month in New York. So, yeah, definitely it's going to kind of be this time of year where we're going to kind of see if they can prove themselves. Obviously, a lot of young guys and even some of the guys that have been around for a little bit, guys like Brian Dozier, guys like Trevor Plouffe, have never been around, a playoff race before. So we'll kind of see how it goes. And so far, since the break, it really hasn't been going very well for the Twins.
Brett, how serious is the Tommy Malone elbow injury? And also, what can you tell us about Tyler Duffy, who starts in his place on Wednesday?
I don't think the Malone injury is very serious. I think more than anything, it was kind of precautionary. Felt a little something in his elbow. And they did the MRI, the one with the dyes in it. So the thing about that one is if you take that kind of MRI and put the dye in there, you can't throw for about 3 to 4 days generally afterwards. So no matter what, even after the MRI, even if it would have showed nothing, he would have, you know, had to be scratched from the start. And they just figured that instead of going with a bullpen day and everything else, even though the MRI just showed mostly just inflammation and a small strain, it was better off to kind of maybe just push him back and put him on the DL. He might be ready within the 2 weeks as it is in 15 days anyway, and bring up Tyler Duffy so they don't have to worry about, you know, using Trevor May, who wouldn't really be ready to throw 100 pitches or anything yet because he's been mostly going only one-inning stints as a reliever. So, and Duffy's a guy that the big thing for him is he keeps the ball in the park. This year he's only given up one homer in 132 innings at AA and AAA. He's a 6'3" right-hander, kind of throws from a three-quarter arm slot, a sinker ball kind of guy, but also has a pretty good curveball. It kind of almost looks like a slurver, a slider, just because he's got that interesting kind of arm angle. So we'll see. It's going to be a tough challenge for him, his first start coming here in Toronto, where we know the Blue Jays lead the majors in runs scored and a third in homers. So it's going to be a tough first test for him, but he's definitely the guy's had a very good year at AA and AAA.
And what's the latest with the shortstop situation? Obviously, they optioned out Danny Santana and Jorge Polanco over the weekend. It sounds like some combination of Escobar and Nunez. Is that correct?
Yep, exactly. The two Eduardos will be kind of splitting that. I think that Escobar's probably going to get more of the bulk of playing time at shortstop, like last year when he was an everyday shortstop for the Twins. You know, he had a pretty nice season last year playing every day at short. He hit about 275 with, you know, about 30 doubles. So he had a good year last year when he played every day. So I think they might try to see if Escobar can maybe run with it for now. But if not, they can kind of mix in Nunez, who's having a very good year offensively for a middle infielder. But really, defensively, I don't know that Nunez has in the past had, you know, chances at shortstop, but not exactly the greatest defensive shortstop in the world, so it would be tough to kind of roll with him as a primary guy. So I think for now, I'll let those two kind of, you know, split some time at shortstop. Polanco got a little taste of the majors again for a couple days with Kloop on the paternity leave. And Polanco, I think it proved that he probably could hit up here, especially for a middle infielder. But the thing with Polanco is I don't know defensively if he's ready to be a shortstop and really if he's going to be a shortstop moving forward. So, and Santana, we talked about before, and his struggles this year kind of continue. So it's interesting. They have, you know, kind of four guys that they could consider there, but really none of them really grabbed the reins and have showed that they could be the everyday shortstop this season at least.
Yeah. So for now, those Eduardos. You know, we talk about how there's not much good going on offensively with the Twins these days, but what's gotten into Aaron Hicks? Because he's been a big bright spot for this offense the past month or so.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big sign for the Twins. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, 2 years ago really struggled when he first made his debut, and last year really didn't go any better. But he's a, you know, former top prospect for a reason. He's still only 25 years old, so he's still very young. And obviously has a track record of performing in the minor leagues as a switch hitter, a guy with a lot of patience, but also, you know, can drive the ball a little bit. And we're starting to see that, you know, his month of July was very impressive. Got on base a ton, hit for, you know, high average, had a good slugging percentage, hit a couple homers, but still bases. So really he's one of those guys, if you put it together, he could be, you know, like a 5-tool type guy, but he hasn't really done that yet in his career, but so far he's finally starting to do that. We'll see if he can kind of continue it and see if this really is a big step forward or if it was just a hot month. But even if it was just a hot month, at least he showed he could do this at this level, which is something he hadn't done before, especially over a period of time that long.
Yeah, he used to be a switch hitter who really couldn't hit from one side, from the left-hand side, which kind of defeats the purpose of the switch hitting. But you know, he's improved those numbers quite a bit here this year, so that's good to see. And we'll see if the Twins can regroup and figure this thing out down the stretch, remain in that wild card race. I want to thank Rhett Bollinger for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.